hope that's your song this morning. I don't need them every hour. I need them every minute. Second, pray for me. It seems like I'm the only one that needs them every hour and second. Douglas and I, sorry. Thank you, Douglas. Pray for Douglas and I that we are the only ones that need him every minute, second, hour. Exodus 33, can I read a few extra verses of Scripture? Got plenty of time this morning. Nobody's going anywhere. We've locked the door down front. Exodus 31, the visitor said, did they? They don't do that at our church. We lock it here just so you can't get out. Exodus 33. I was here a couple of weeks ago, I believe. Or no, I was here on a Wednesday night talking about Scripture preservation. That Moses broke the first set that God wrote with his finger. And then he went back up there and wrote the second copy himself. That's preservation. We have a preserved Word of God today. If we didn't, where in the world would we be? Because once man gets involved in it, he loves to change things. Exodus 33 and verse 1, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses. Now, Moses has been up on this mountain for quite some time. There's been a lot of conversation taking place. He's literally given them instruction on the tabernacle. He's given them instruction on the law. There's so many things that God has articulated. I do not know how that looks. Moses did not have an iPhone with notes. Moses didn't have a pad. I can't see him with all these scrolls under his arm. I don't know how he did it. My memory's terrible, but nonetheless, Moses is getting all of this information from God, and he's remembering it. That's some pretty important conversation, isn't it? I think everybody ought to carry at least a voice recorder around with them, because God can talk to you at any time. If God were to ask you to build an ark today, could you do it? Or would you say, I'm a little busy right now, I'll get back to you when I can? All right, it's going to be a good day today. I can see this already. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. What a wonderful conversation. Pastor couldn't say that, could he? Because we'd get mad. It's really going to be a rough day today. And when the people, verse 4, heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. Now this is kind of weird. These evil tidings, I don't see that, because the majority of the conversation is good. Land flowing with milk and honey. Everything's great. This is a wonderful place. God's going to provide the place. The evil thing, I think, was just him saying to them, God saying to Moses about those people, they were stiff-necked. Is anybody stiff-necked in here? No, Noah and McKaylee, the only two that raised your hand. I wrote, John, so there's 1, 2, 3, 4 of us in here. 5. If you would, 6, Danny, thank you. If you would, just endure us this morning. All right, we're going to just endure us, 7, I believe it is, to see what we can get out of here. The rest of you, just pray for us, feel sorry for us. Lord knows none of us, other of us, would be stiff-necked. That's the evil thing. Everything else was positive. The evil thing was God. You know, the thing about it is we've got to see ourselves the way God sees us. When that happens, then all the other stuff is, man, milk and honey, all the land, he'll take care of the giants, all that stuff, that's good stuff. Verse 6, and the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp. Now he got all those instructions on that tabernacle while he was there as well. There's a lot of instructions, what kind of skins to use, the candlesticks, all that stuff. A lot of information there. Moses took the tabernacle, pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp. and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord, watch this now, went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Can I just say this? And I know it doesn't say this in the passage, but there ought to be. People ought to see you spend time with God. Let me say this in the home. Your children, Dad, ought to see you spend time with God. Because what's going to happen is you're going to instruct them. You're going to say, not a Father's Day message, I thought I'd put this in here for free. You're going to lead them. You're going to direct them. You're going to say that God said this to me. I found this in Scripture. This is a job I'd have. And they're watching to see how that conversation, that communication, and that course of action takes place. Because there's a lot of homes that have no leadership. Not only that, if you're a business owner or work somewhere and you lead people at work, they ought to know you know God. They ought to not just scratch their head and say, wow, I wonder if we can follow this guy. And let me say this, if you're in church and you have a position of leadership in church, those people ought to see you know God. They ought to see you commune with God. Because how, if I'm following somebody in the Lord and I don't even know if they can follow Him, how in the world can I follow Him? They saw Moses go in there, they saw the pillar, they saw the cloud, they saw the smoke, and when he came out and he said something, you ought to know that I walk with God. You ought not to walk around here at this church scratching your head. I wonder if Pastor even spends any time with God. Can I say there's a lot of churches that leadership spends no time with God? It's just an execution of what they feel they ought to do, and that's why you see the condition of churches many times today. That was free. It came to pass, verse 9, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Here's a young man just watching what Moses does. Watching everything that transpires with Moses. Here goes back to our Wednesday night services on mentoring. Sir, ma'am, you ought to have somebody that's watching you. Doesn't say nothing, just sits in the shadows and watches you. Noah, you just surrendered. You ought to be watching somebody. And can I say this? There's a lot of people to watch. Make sure you watch the right ones. Make sure you watch the ones that there's a pillar of fire. Make sure you watch the one. Now, I've said this. You can learn a lot of people from their mistakes. But you still, no matter how much you learn from people that make a lot of mistakes, you need to be around people that have a lot of successes. Get around those kind of people. And the Lord, verse 11, spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. He turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He just watched him. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, this is Moses talking to God. He said, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. He's got a big task. 2.5 million people, I think they said. Just an estimate. We didn't have anybody counting back then or anything. But by all estimates, 2.5, 18, what do you call them? Train carts? A provision for 2.18 train carts of provision every day. You never see they're without shoes. You never see they're without clothing. Could you imagine? I struggle with the little bit of people I tend to. Can you imagine 2.5 million people? Better listen to God. Better know God. Better walk with, better make sure you're talking to God. Just a dad, it's not a Father's Day message. Just a dad ought to have a relationship to make sure how to lead his children. In this day and age, there's a lot of things out there. Internet, iPads, cell phones. They're coming after all of us. You better know how to walk with God. Verse 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, Moses says, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. I'm not going to stop here and talk about the doctrine of separation here. Come out from among them, Paul said. Be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There's more world in the church today than there's church in the world. He was saying, you need to be different than them. Because why? Because, can I just say this? There's a young lady by the name of Ruth that you're going to encounter. No, Rahab that you're going to encounter. And she had a very bad past. It probably didn't start out bad, but somewhere in the journey, it got bad. And here she's watching from a distance, Rahab the harlot. She's in the genealogy of Christ. See how important it is for Moses to make sure he walks with God? So that Joshua can see that Moses walks with God, so that those people, when they go into that land, can see that God is walking with those people, so that Rahab can see and she can talk to the spies and the spies can talk to her, and she says, I'm gonna help you, I'm gonna put out a scarlet cord, and her family's saved. And then just so happened, Douglas, because of those two paths crisscrossing with each other, Rahab ends up with what? One of the spies. And all of a sudden now she's in the genealogy of Christ. She started out as Rahab the harlot, but because Moses spent... Don't tell me, Dad, that you're not an important person in your home. Don't tell me, sir, ma'am, that you're not an important person in the society that you live in. Because if two paths can cross, who knows what can come of it? That was free too. Man, a lot of free stuff. I feel like Oprah Winfrey. Reach under your pew. Everybody gets free this morning. Oh boy. Verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, Moses is still talking here, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And then in verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. I want to come back to verse 21, and that's where I want to kind of stay for a while this morning. The Bible says, and the Lord said to Moses, while they're up there, they have all this conversation, he says, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Let's pray. Father, we'd ask you to help us this morning. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for not only the spoken word of God for Moses, but also the written word of God that we have today. And as John said, the spiritual, the physical word of God, the fleshly word of God, if you will, in Jesus Christ. And we beheld his glory, the only glory of the Father. So we'd ask you to help us today. Teach us something. Speak to us in some way. Help us to see the things, the similarities that Moses found that we as well can share ourselves. Lord, there might be somebody in here that doesn't know you as Savior. I pray that you speak to their heart this morning. Maybe there's somebody in here that doesn't have that place, that closeness, that intimacy that Moses has. I pray that we can find something in this passage this morning that we can apply to our lives. Whatever the situation may be this morning, I pray that you'd speak to us as only you can. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. Two Sundays ago, I preached a message. I think it was two Sundays ago. I preached a message titled The Secret Place, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And David wrote of that. There was this secret place. And I said then, you ought to have a secret place for you to talk to God. I focused from the text upon David's statements regarding several characteristics, I think we called them, of the secret place that David found for himself. And I asked the question in my introduction to the message, do you have a secret place? You ought to. If you don't have one, you ought to be provoked by the message, the text, the scripture, the scenario, the similarities from David, that you ought to find one. And you ought to search for one. You ought to get to a place where you and God alone with you, can talk to Him and He can talk to you. When you go there, you'll need to take a copy of the Word of God, preserved Word of God that Moses helped us with. Because that's how God speaks today. We can see Him in nature, but He speaks to us physically through His Word. And we spoke about that on Wednesday night. If you are any kind of student of Scripture, you will soon find that God had a secret place and special place for many people throughout Scripture. And again, I want to say this, you and I should have one. Not only should we have one, we should want one. There's a lot of people that have a Bible, but do you want the Bible? There's a lot of people that have a house, but do you really want a home? So you not only should have one, you should want one, you should desire one. Your appetite ought to be wet today reading the Word of God. If Moses can talk to God like that, can I? He's not a respecter of persons. And so it is a place, as you study Scripture, where many things transpire for the individual that will find themselves there. And we, the reader, get to peek into that moment of intimacy with the God of heaven and read of all that transpires that the writer shares. It is not the thought this morning, but it captivates my thoughts and my studies many days. That is that the God of heaven would want to have those moments with us in Scripture and out of it. I'll say this, and I know today sometimes can be very busy. You get up, you're getting the kids ready, you're trying to get to church. God wanted to talk to you this morning. He wanted to spend an intimate amount of time with you. I would think, if everybody's okay, I mean, there's only, was it seven of us that the other of you probably got up and you had conversation with everybody else in your home. You might have sat down at the breakfast table and talked to your grand or your kids or any number of things. There was an intimacy. There was a conversation. Can I say this? Don't leave God out of that. Find that place, whether it's going into the bathroom and brushing your teeth, whatever it may be, putting something on while you're in the shower. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can put it. Alexa, could you read Psalm 91 for us this morning while you're getting ready? It's easy to do if you desire for it to happen. And so it is not the thought this morning, but it captivates my thoughts that God would want to have time with us. I don't know if it does you. Scripture is a record of person after person who encounters and communes with God so that we know that we can as well. I know that I'm not going to wrestle with God like Jacob did and his hip get knocked out of joint, but can I say this? All of us, I'm sure, if we've been saved any length of time, has wrestled with God. There might have been something He wanted us to do, somewhere He wanted us to go, someone He wanted us to talk to, and we wrestled with Him in whether we should do that or not. Scripture shows us those encounters all throughout Scripture. Adam walked with God, the Bible says, in the cool of the day. Can you imagine that kind of conversation? Can you imagine that kind? Hey, listen, not being from, but living in Ohio, it was the right temp all the time. Man, I don't know what it's going to take to get y'all on board this morning. It was the right temp, all the cool of the day. Just, it never was too hot, never was too cold. Everything was just right. No snow. Enoch walked with God and was not. He had such an intimate walk with God that all of a sudden one day he just wasn't. And watch this. They were looking for him. That is a picture for the doctrine of the taking away of the church. That is a demonstration of it in text. All of a sudden, he was just walking. He was not. Listen, if you show up one week and pastor ain't here and you can't find him, you're in deep kimchi. Because guess what happened? I got taken away and you got left behind. And listen, and the left behind series doesn't give you a second chance. 2 Thessalonians says you'll get an encounter, a strong delusion. God controls it. God can control every aspect of us. If he can get that king to eat grass, he can get a strong delusion to pass on you, and the scripture tells us that. Adam walked with God in the cool day. Enoch walked with God and was not. Noah walked with God. Abraham met with God in the door of his tent. The prophets spoke with God. All of those prophets, and do you remember that you fast forward to the New Testament and you've got these two disciples, they're walking, is it Emmaus? It's Emmaus, not Damascus, on the road to Emmaus. And they're all sad and sourpussed and everything, and God comes beside them and begins to talk with them, and all of a sudden they say after the conversation, did not our hearts burn within us as he expounded unto us from Moses to the prophets. What was that? All the times in Scripture where God spoke to man. Can I say he can do that with you? John saw God and baptized him. And guess what John got to see? Not only did he see God in the flesh, John chapter 1, verse 14, we beheld his glory, but a dove, the picture of the Holy Spirit, lights on him, and he hears this voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. All members of the Trinity were there, and John got to experience it. Peter, James, and John saw him on the Holy Mount. They heard him with their own eyes, but yet Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Preservation of Scripture. Peter spoke with him and was warmed and restored by a fire. Peter walks away from the God. He had a 3.5-year intimate relationship with Noah. I mean, they ate and slept and they were around each other. They're on the boat when it's almost sinking. There's all these situations. All of a sudden, Peter sees everything that Jesus says and all of a sudden one day walks away from it, says, I go fishing. It's bass season. I'm going to go out and see what I can catch on the Sea of Galilee. Others following him. Watch this. Joshua followed Moses. And guess what happened with Peter? We go with thee. But yet Peter hears from God on the seashore, intimate, close. There was a special place. There's a part of me that just, I don't know how it looked. He's got the fire. He's got all the stuff ready. And he just does this little, I'm going to tell you a story. I was here not too long, Miss Odessa hurt, and I was a new pastor. I was driving home one day. What's that road? Norton? What is that road? What is it? It's Norton Road, and I'm driving by, and I see this woman. She was probably already 70 then, wasn't she? I mean, she's like 117. She's 70 years old, and I'm driving by, and I see this woman pushing in the ditch with her push mower. And I said, man, then I got to thinking, did she see me? Because if she saw me and she said, yeah, she gets back to the prayer meeting. Yeah, I saw that new pastor. Drove right by me while I was mowing the lawn. Didn't even think to help me. I swung back around. And I bought my first lawnmower because of Miss Odessa's house. And I bought my first trailer because of Miss Odessa's house. And every Friday I'd go by and then Billy and I started doing it. And then Mike Glass and I started doing it and all this. One day I was over there and I was trying to raise money for the windows or the pews or something like that. I'm mowing the lawn. She did a Libby on me. The lawnmower is my secret place. It's where I commune with God. As hard as that is to believe. He can talk to me while I'm on a mower. And I see her on the front porch, and she's trying to get this done, Miss Odessa. She sits on the front porch, and she goes, come here, son. And I had to sit down, and she began to explain to me the intricacies of fixed income. And I began to explain to her that I wasn't speaking to everybody on a fixed income. I'm speaking to the ones that can participate in all the other stuff. Do you get what I'm saying? There's that intimacy. I look at Peter and Jesus is sitting on the seashore, and all of a sudden Jesus says, he pats on that log. I don't know. He got some logs, set him down, got the fire going. Peter. And then he begins to look at him and says, lovest thou me? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. See the intimacy there? Let me say this. We could give the invitation now. Is that you? Is there moments when God can captivate your attention and go, could you sit here for me for just a minute? No, I'm too busy scrolling social media. Too busy, I got to do this, I got to do that. Peter spoke with him and was warmed and restored by a fire. Paul got knocked off his high horse and saw him on the road to Damascus. John, the Bible says this, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind him a great voice. And we have those things recorded in Scripture, the church age. I want you to write seven letters to seven churches. The whole book of Revelation, can I just say this, is for the church. It starts out, and write unto the churches. Repeatedly in Scripture, we find person after person finding a place by God. David called it a secret place. For Moses in our text, I want to call it a very special place. Moses has spent the greater part of 40 days meeting with God, listening to God, getting directions from God. Take the time to read your Bible around this event and see all the things that God gave to Moses that he was to do. And then read Scripture for yourself and tell me that God doesn't have something for you as well. Open up your Bible, I dare you, and tell me that God doesn't have something individually for you. Noah, because he's been sitting around the Word of God, specifically God was able to place a desire, a burden, a calling, if you will, on his life for missions, that other people can hear the gospel. Why is it that the rest of the world hasn't heard it sometimes once and we get to hear it over and over again and do nothing with it? Now we can probably figure out why an 11-day journey from Egypt took him 40 years and we can hear why God said to him, you're stiff-necked. 11 days and they just kept going around the mountain, fearful of listening to God, and then God brings a Moses along. Moses went up to spend time with God. Take time to read your Bible. Read it around the event. See what God was saying to Moses, and maybe he can say something to you. Tell me that God doesn't have something for you as well as a father or a mother, a member, or even a worker in society. As I was studying for Wednesday's messages regarding preservation of Scripture, I was captivated, as I already said, by this account of Moses spending time with God regarding Scripture. Whether it was the spoken word, the physical word, or the written word, several things remain true throughout Scripture about that place by God. And that is simply seen by what God states to Moses when he says, there's a place by me. Can I just say this? There's an invitation in your hand if you have a Bible. It is a love letter from heaven that God wants you to spend time with and find that place next to Him. Even though we have the indwelling presence of God as taught in Scripture, you will never be closer to Him and His purpose and plan for your life than the time you spend in the Word of God. You want to get close to God? Get close to His Word. I'm so discouraged, appalled, confused, I don't really know what adjective to use to describe the lack of the person who willingly chooses not to find time in the Word of God. I was very encouraged by the young people that came back. Alicia, you probably saw many of them. I think I saw your signature on them. Michaela, I saw it on yours. Over and over again, these young people said, as one of their, what do you call them? Decisions at the altar call of teen camp. I want to find time to read my Bible every day. That is a desire. You have to find that. Nobody can twist your arm for that. You have to. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And you will never be any more closer to God than when you read His Word and listen to what He has to say to you. As Moses went up to spend time with God, for clarity for the task and the time that he had before him, so should it be for you and I. The only one preventing or accomplishing that task is you. Well, I just didn't have time. So-and-so called. So-and-so got in the way. Then we say things like this. Sorry, I'm busy right now. Well, what in the world could you be busy with talking with God? I don't think anybody'd be offended by that. The only one preventing or accomplishing that task is you. Moses had a desire, and so should you and I. And someone might say, well, that was just for Moses, what you're reading there, Pastor. And my reply to you would be, I could make a series for months out of the people that chose to find that place and all that was afforded them there. Scripture even tells us in Romans chapter 2 and verse 11, there is no respect of persons with God. So if I find somebody in Scripture that has something, I can have that same thing as well. Maybe not the same. It may not be the same way specifically. God's not going to hide me in a rock somewhere on a mountain. Is there any mountains around here? You know what I'm saying? It might not be the same way specifically or the same place necessarily, but it will have great similarities. Can I just say that? So this morning I want to encourage you again not to only find the secret place, but that special place by God. We ought to be able to, and parents, why don't you ask your children that once in a while after they're grown? Mike, Emily, pull Noah to the side. Do you have a special place? What's the last thing God said to you? What's the last thing God asked of you? Could we go around the room this morning and ask that of people in here? If your answer to that is, I don't know, it's very revealing that you don't have a special place. And so, it's getting awful quiet in here. Let's call this special place by God. When you do, you will find, let's call them some similarities that Moses as well found. With that in mind, at this account of Moses meeting with God, I want to preach on this thought this morning very briefly. Has everybody enjoyed the brief messages lately? Huh? If I dialed it in to get done, I mean, the other day, baptism, everything, singing, worship, singing a happy birthday, still done before 12. Can I get a big hoorah for that? Thank you. That really sounded great. I want to preach on this thought this morning. The place by God. Verse 21, he said this, and the Lord said, behold, there is, not might be. He said, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Everyone this morning needs to have a place by God, for it will offer you and I many things. I want to just go over them real briefly this morning. First, as I study this account out of Moses on the holy mountain, the place by God, verse 21, is a place of confidence. It's a place of confidence. The Bible says in verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt, do you see all these that will, shall, not maybe, not could be. You ask people, are you saved? Well, I hope so. The Bible tells us we have a no-so salvation. Paul said, being confident of this very thing. It is a place, this place by God is a place of confidence. He said, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. It's a place of confidence, this place by God. We see from the first time God encountered and met with Moses to each other time, there was a lack of confidence. Remember when God showed up at the burning bush and begins to have this conversation with him and tells him what he's going to do? There's a trepidation of Moses. There's almost a, I just can't do this. I can't do this. And over again. And then he gives him directive and gives him everything. And he says, and who's going to, now watch this. He grew up in Egypt. He knew what Egyptians were like. He knew what he was going to encounter. But watch this. He says, who am I going to say? I'm just going to show up and tell them this? And they're just going to let these people go that have been in cattle bondage for 400 years? He said, tell them I am. He even goes to show him what he can do with a staff. He goes to show him with the leprosy on his hand. He shows him over and over again. And you know what it begins to do? It begins to build a confidence. But we see a lack of confidence when you look at Moses' life. And therefore, where did the confidence get built in? That time with God. Can I say, no matter how much people try and hide it on social media, no matter how much you try and cover it up with clothing and conversation and all the little frills and bells and whistles, most of us, if we'd be honest with ourselves, are very insecure people. We cover it up with so many different things. Can I say where confidence is built? First, it's built in a home. And it's built in the home upon a solid rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us our confidence. He is our shield and buckler. Moses tells us this place by God. Scripture shows us it is a place of confidence. For Moses, there was a lack of confidence. For Moses, this wasn't flat ground. This was a mountain. It wasn't easy getting there, and it wasn't easy staying there. And thus, God placed him upon a rock. I won't take the time this morning. Go look that word rock up. Just search it out in Scripture and the references where it's used. All the times it is used in Moses' story with God. It is over and over again in Deuteronomy. It is over and over again in Exodus. Why? Because God is transforming the man Moses from who he was to what he wants him to be so he can go down to Egypt. He can take these people through the wilderness. He can do all these things. Dad, God needs you to be confident in your home. Mom, God needs you to be confident in your home. Sir, God needs you to be confident in your deportment out in society. Every time Hollywood betrays somebody that is a Christian, they betray them in some psychopathic way or passive way. Never with boldness and confidence. God placed him upon a rock. He was developing the confidence for Moses. And anytime you read of men and women in Scripture, you will find that in that place, God provides confidence. Paul said it like this in Philippians chapter 1, in a jail, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this and we'll move on. I could go on and on with this place of confidence. And it is not cockiness. And it is not a place of pride. It is a place of humility. Why? Because the God of heaven has protected you. He's overseen you. He's covered you. He's placed you there and you're confident. Paul was confident. He wasn't complaining in prison. He was confident in prison that God had placed him there for, why? Of all else, to just run into who? Onesimus. And Onesimus just happened to be at the house of Philemon. And they just happen to be at the church of Colossae, and Onesimus gets saved and goes back and becomes a... Isn't it amazing when we meet with God how we see paths cross? John Mark and Barnabas and Paul, and all of a sudden Paul's doesn't have many people around him. He says, hey, bring John Mark. He's profitable now for the ministry. They're paths cross. What do you find in that place by God? You find confidence. How else can you get a young man to stand by the fire before he's tossed in? Somewhere in that home, they taught confidence. Somewhere for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they taught confidence. Confidence in who? The flesh? No, in God. This place by God is a place of confidence. Let me ask you this, we'll move on. You lacking confidence this morning in your life? Some time spent with God can soon remedy it. Next, we see verse 22a, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by. This place by God is not only a place of confidence, it's a place of captivation. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by. Now, I can't completely illustrate this thing, but I don't even know. I'm thinking of those. You ever seen those mountain goats? I watched them, meat eater, Steve Rinell. And he goes hunting in Nepal and some of these places, and he'll get these mountain goats or whatever they're called. And they literally, the pads on their feet, they can just, I mean, the whole, they can walk the side of a mountain. I don't know what this looked like. I've climbed Table Mountain. That was quite the feat. Table Mountain was quite the feat. Climbed that. But there was places that when we went through that little cleft, if you want to call it that, when that wind whipped up in there, that wasn't the most... I mean, there were some places... Listen, it wasn't climbing around here where they put all kinds of wires and signs and you can't even get close to nothing. There was a place of what? It was confidence. He placed him there. I'm wondering if Moses is like this, doing this thing. I don't know about you. When I read my Bible, it's not like he's just walking around like the Sound of Music dancing through the groves, man. And let me say this about this, and I don't think I'm stretching it any. There should be some trepidation about your footing when you come in the presence of God. We shouldn't just willy-nilly around popping chewing gum and just think God can show up at any moment and I can just spend the amount of time I want to spend and leave whenever I want to leave. That's not how God works. It is a place of confidence. It's not only that, it's a place of captivation. It says, she'll come to pass while my glory passeth by. There were many things on Moses' mind, or we could say plate. Can you imagine going up there? Jacob, you're fixing to have, is it six? Whew, and four girls. Five, actually. And the fifth one is a handful. I had her for quite some time. Amen. Is that okay, Douglas? You weren't in my home, I was. She was the worst one in our home, I'm telling you what. But anyways, you've got to, there's a lot you got to get. You can't just, you got to be captivated by God. You got to see Him in all of His glory to know that He can do so. We were talking about it yesterday. They still can't get over this thing about me marrying Tina and being involved in all that stuff. And I told Jacob, I said, well, hey, I'm going to stick around. You got four of them. I'm going to wait in line. Just I'm going to critique everything you do with all four of them. And I'll say, now remember when I only had one? You've got to get close to God and get that confidence. You've got to get close to God and see the captivation of it. Moses is with fear and trepidation because he's got to now get to this land flowing with milk and honey with all of these ites, parasites and termites and all of these things all over the place. Moses has to get to a place of captivation that he sees God in all of His glory. And if he sees God in all of His glory, he'll say he'll take care of all this other stuff. Many things on Moses' mind, many things on his plate that had captivated him for days ahead. But what Moses needed most was for God to captivate him. And so should our time with God be in that place by Him. It should captivate us with His glory. If church is the only time you worship God, then you are missing out on so much. Let me say that again. If church is the only time you are captivated by Him, and whether it's a song or a hymn or all of those things, if that's the only time, you are missing out on so much. And I'm going to tell you what, when you miss out on that captivation of God, you will miss out on that confidence of God. Let me ask you this and we'll move on. Moses had a place by God. He was able to see God's glory. Sadly, far too many people who say they know God are far more captivated by things of this world. Is that you this morning? Next, we see this place by God is a place of confidence. It's a place of captivation. Verse 22b, see if you can find this one. He says in verse 22a, he says, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, God's talking to Moses, building his confidence, captivating him with his glory. Then he says, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock. I call that, this place, is a place of compliance. I don't see where there's this fist fight. Jacob, yes. I see him wrestling with God because God's trying to get him to this place. What's God trying to get him to? To be Israel. He has a plan, and here Jacob is fighting that plan. It's amazing to me. Somebody as famous as Jacob fights God's plan. Rahab the harlot just falls head over heels into God's plan. Sometimes the most unlikely candidates are the ones that follow the will of God. It is a place of compliance. He says, I will put thee in a cliff to the rock. When God placed Moses there, he was expecting his compliance for the things he had just spoken of him about. There was a list of things. He said, Moses, I need you to comply with this. That tabernacle needs to be just the right. There were so many pictures in that tabernacle. The candlestick, the showbread, the altar, the brazen altar, the brazen laver, all of that stuff had to be at the right measurement. Why? Because it was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything was pointing people to God. Moses, if you miss any of it, somebody else is going to miss God. What do I need you to do, Moses? I need you to be compliant. Can I say this today? There are churches all over the world that are doing it their way. Why are we doing back to the basics or the building blocks of basics on Wednesday night? Because if not, we could end up like a parking lot just like Akron Baptist Temple. God is the Lord God, and He changes not. No matter how much time changes, there is a way that God wanted it to be done, and we are to be compliant. Was it Uz? Yeah, it was Uz. God had a way to carry the ark. He had wrote it down. He had given it to Moses, the Levitical priest. All of that stuff was mapped out. Next thing you know, well, things just got hectic. Things got hectic. We're just going to put it on an ox cart. We're just going to do it our way. Do you know how many churches out there nowadays are just doing it their way? And God's glory never shows up. Libby and I were just watching something the other day about a pastor, a Netflix thing, and I'm sitting there. I watch crime shows all the time. I'm a former police officer. And I was sitting there going there. I said, what in the world? You know what bothered me more than anything else? The church was packed. And the guy's on his third divorce. And I'm sitting there going, how? You know why? Just subtle changes. Just subtle changes. And you know what happens in those subtle changes in your home or in the church? It may be the very change that your children, grandchildren, or somebody else misses God. What happened with David? They put it on an ox cart. They hit some rocky roads. The ark tipped a little bit. And bless his heart. I think the world does. He reached over to steady the cart, but they all knew better. They should have. David knew better, but he didn't tell anybody. And God killed Uz. You know how many young people are dying today in our homes, spiritually, because we won't comply with what the Bible says? It is a place of confidence. It is a place of captivation. He beheld His glory. It is a place of compliance. Chapter after chapter after chapter, God speaks to Moses and puts him in this rock, and He demonstrates to him and He shows him, Moses, I desperately need you to comply. Let me ask you this, we'll move on. Yes, there were times that Moses did not fully comply. But at this place and many others, Moses learned compliance. The question I ask is, have you in your place learned compliance? I don't go to church. I'm not really into the church thing. It's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. You know what? Can I simplify the do's and don'ts of church? It's to keep you and I safe. Can I say for that young person in the home, Noah, I'm sure there's a lot of do's and don'ts at your house. But if mom and dad are walking with the Lord, you know what those do's and don'ts are for, McKaylee? Keep you safe. I get it. If you're lost and you don't understand Scripture and you don't understand the whole concept of things, watch this. Can you imagine where we'd be today if Eve would have just been, yeah, Douglas, I'm telling you. That's our next session. That's our next session. We're going to have a session just you and I with that. Lisa, you're not invited to this session. Can you imagine where we'd be? God intended it to be wonderful and perfect. And because of our lack of compliance or confusion, Satan comes and hey, hath not God said? Yeah, we can't touch it. We can't eat it. No, God never said that. God said you can't eat it. Because the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. There's safety in do's and don'ts. She got all confused about it. She had to touch it. They had to touch it. Why? Because God said, I'm going to put you there to keep it and to dress it. Could you keep a tree and dress a tree without touching a tree? Just don't eat. You got to prune branches. You got to fix things. You got to pollinate. You got to do all this stuff. God wants us compliant. That's why He gave us His word. Everything, sir, you know what I'm talking about. Don't make me stay here. You go get a Traeger grill. You get it at the store. You bring it home. She says, wow, we going to have ribs this afternoon? We sure are. Pull out the directions. They put the directions on the top of the box, sir. You know why? So you start with the directions. Throw them off to the side. I got this. Next thing you know, the wheel's on the handle. The handle's on the wheel. And they make them in such a way you can't change it. And then some men just go back, there was parts missing. Can I get another box? God gave us a direction so we could what? Comply. so we could have the safety of all of those things. Number four, I'm closing out. I can see everybody's getting green in the gills. God told Moses, there's a place by me. It's a place of confidence, a place of captivation, a place of compliance. Verse 22 and verse 23, I'll give you these last two. Verse 22, he says, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. It's a place of covering. Moses, like us, had traveled a journey where his trust was self-reliant many times. We see it in the early years, but after spending time with God, he learned to rest in his covering. The word cover here means to entwine as a screen, to fence in, to cover over. Let me say this of Moses and of us. The only place you will learn that and find that to be intertwined and to be covered and to be fenced in is sitting next to God. What's the songwriter say? Prone to, Lord, I feel it. You, pastor? Oh, my goodness. I lived 27 years out there. Got myself in more stuff than I care to even talk about. Every once in a while, if I'm not close to God, Andrew, I hear that call whispering to me, come on back over. Oh, there's pleasure in sin for a season. For a season. It is a place of covering, to fence in, to entwine. What did David say? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. Moses, God placed him there, covered him with his hand. You know what he was doing? He was entwining him. He was giving him confidence. He was giving him captivation. He was getting Moses to comply. Moses, please, this is the way, walk ye in it. It was such a captivation that later on Joshua would say in Joshua 24, he says, as for me and my house, he says, we're going to serve the Lord. He said, I don't know about all y'all, but I sat around and watched Moses and I saw what God did for him, and God's going to do it for me as well. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I wish a lot of people in church would come to that conclusion. Let me say this of Moses and of us. The only place you will learn that and find that in the place of God is the place by God. Can you say emphatically this morning that God covers you with His hand? I'm fearful many times that because we believe in the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, that we can do as we please and go as we want, and never take into consideration the first part of this story, and that is compliance. Moses got what Moses got because he complied. There's so much more in this story and ours I could elaborate on. I'll encourage you to go back. Lastly, this, verse 23. This place by God that God said to Moses he could have was a place of confidence. It was a place of captivation. It was a place of compliance. It was a place of covering. Verse 23, it says this, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Every commentary I looked at had very little to say about this. Because what do you communicate? First he says you can't see me face to face. Then he says I'm going to put you in the rock, and then I'm going to hide you. And I'm going to hide you in such a way that when I do pass by and you see my glory, you're going to see the backside of me. This is what I wrote down, and I think it applies. This place by God is a place of curiosity. Maybe I'm stretching this last one a bit, but it's what I see as I read this account. Moses was there willingly. He was compliant. God was building his confidence. He was captivated by what he saw. While there, God did many things for Moses and taught Moses much about himself. I don't know about you, but if the God of heaven shows up and talks to me, and no one has seen him face to face, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be a bit curious. What does God look like? Maybe I should have started here rather than ended here. Listen to what Moses states in verse 18. And he said, before this even started, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He didn't see all of it. Bible even says later on that he came down and he had a veil, a Shekinah glory. God had revealed him so much that there was a glow about him. Now you understand why preachers say sometimes, smile, God loves you. We have the God of heaven living inside of us and we can't even reflect his presence in our life sometimes. Hey, how you doing today? Not bad. How you doing? What's that guy with the blanket and peanuts? Linus. What's the purple donkey? Sean, you came back with that one really quick. Eeyore. How many Eeyore Christians do we have? You know why? Because you're just not curious. I'm going to tell you what. I want to dive in and find everything I can. He that has wisdom, let him count the number of the beasts. I mean, you know, there's all these little things in Scripture, and you're sitting there going, is there an equation? Has anybody ever wondered, is there an equation that we can find who that is? The number is 600, six, 366, and you're sitting there going, who is it? And many people have tried. The secret things belong to God, though. But it ought to make you curious. How close can I get to God? I don't know about you, but when you and I spend time with God, there ought to be a curiosity to see more of Him. Moses and others always provoke me as I read Scripture. They provoke me to press forward and find more out about and of God. God honored Moses' request, and Moses became much closer to God because of that place by God. I'll ask you this for the invitation. Now listen. Listen to that inner voice when I ask these questions. Are you satisfied with where you're at with God today? Let that sink in. I mean satisfied. Can I say this? You are as close, sir, ma'am, to God this morning as you want to be. As you choose to be. Sometimes I think it's scary. I've heard people say before, if I get close to God, there's some things. Before I got saved, I used to say this. I cussed like a sailor before I got saved. I know that's hard to believe with this angelic face. Cuss like a sailor. Rodney would talk to me about being saved, and I said, I can't. I said, God ain't going to accept this filthy mouth. He said, well, stop. You know, senior chief, you know, what's the term? Cuss like a what? Sailor. It felt like that's where your confidence was. Listen, I got out of more fights with this mouth, intimidation, than got into it. And I said to Rodney, I'm not going to be able to. What am I going to do if I can't? Ain't that silly? Isn't that absolutely silly to come to that conclusion? But you know what? That was the thing that was keeping me from getting close to Him. There's people in this room this morning, you're not even close to Him. You know why? Because you've chosen other things. Social media, job, money, whatever it may be, internet, whatever it may be. Those things, we'll talk about them tonight. Those things that prevent. Noah, find out now the things that keep you away from Him and get them out of your life. I'm telling you what, everybody ought to experience a closeness with God. If you do it early on, guess what? Later on down the road when you're not as close, that prodigal, he had a closeness with his father. Because when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father's house. He remembered that life that he had. And he said, I want that again. You're, sir, ma'am, you're as close to God this morning as you want to be. Here's the second question. Do you want to be closer? That's why we give invitations in churches. So you can sit there and say, I'm going to decide today to get closer to God. If so, what's holding you back? Why not today decide like Moses to get closer? And when you do, you will hear from Scripture that there's a place by God. Noah, I believe you got close to God this year at camp and other places, man camp and teen camp. And you know what? I so appreciated the other day, and I'm done. We can get ready for baptism. I so appreciated how you detailed it out to me. You know why? Because, and Jacob and I were talking about this, because that is somebody, watch this, you were compliant. God gave Moses instructions. He said, follow these instructions. God gives us instructions in Scripture, and you said, before I got baptized, I had to do this. I had to do this. Or before I surrendered to this, I had to do this. You had it all down. Keep doing that. Keep desiring that, because to whom much is given, much is required. You watch this. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. There is no telling what God can do with you the closer you get to Him. Father, we'd ask you to help us this morning. Help us to realize this place, Lord, beside you. It's a place of confidence, compliance, captivation, curiosity. Paul said that I may know Him, that's curiosity, and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Help us, I plead this morning, help each and every one of us individually to see something in this encounter with Moses that we might seek it as well. I plead in Jesus' name. Let's all stand.